Speaking of pros, he is the pro's pro. He is Paul Breidel of ESPN Lacrosse, their Packers beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Breidel. Paul, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sparky. Always happy to be talking Packers with you.
All right. We were just talking prior to you coming on about how dismal of a season Kenny Clark is having as far as how he's grading out with inside of pro football metrics and how they're grading him. This was a guy that I think everybody thought was going to have a monster year in this new defense, and it just has not worked out so far through three games.
Yeah, it definitely has been a slow start, and you can put me in that category of people that thought that this was going to be a really big year for Kenny Clark, a system where he can just go and get after the quarterback. What we know from Kenny Clark is Kenny Clark's seasons in the past is that he does tend to get off to a slower start. I think it's oftentimes in October or even November where we really start to see that high level version of Kenny Clark take place. And just something to be mindful of all this. Yes, Kenny Clark is a really good defensive tackle. He's been in the league for a number of years now, but I remember him saying during the summer that this type of scheme that he's in right now, this Halfley system, this is the first time that he's played in this style of defense. I think going back either to high school or his early college days at UCLA. So perhaps there's a bit of an adjustment period taking place. And one other thing I just want to note with Kenny Clark is his impact on this Packers defense isn't always going to show up on the stat sheet. He takes on a number of double teams. He's asked to just eat up space. And what that does is that creates opportunities for other players, whether it's the linebackers to fill a gap, whether it's the defensive lineman next to him. So his impact isn't always going to show up on the stat sheet. But of course, you would want more from Kenny Clark than what we've seen up to this point in the season. But if anyone deserves the benefit of the doubt, it's going to be Kenny Clark. We know the type of player he can be, and you have to assume it's only going to be a matter of time before he gets going.
What about Mr. McDuffie, a guy that I think last year showed he was pretty good in the run game? Now you've seen his snaps decrease from week one to two, and now from week two to week three, he's less than 50 snaps in that last game.
Yeah, that's pretty telling, the drop-off that he's had. Edrin Cooper played 19 snaps, and those obviously aren't all coming just in the base 4-3 defense. He's taken away McDuffie's snaps when they're lined up in nickel with the two linebackers on the field. And you have to think, I mean, you spend a second-round pick on Edrin Cooper that, you know, all along this was the plan. I think the big question was how quickly could the Packers get him acclimated, especially after the time that he missed over the summer. I mean, those are very valuable practices during training camp, the preseason games that he missed. And one thing that we've seen with the Packers, not just this year, but throughout the years, they will put on the rookie's plate what they feel that they can handle. They don't necessarily have to throw them into the fire right away. They will get them up to the point where they feel comfortable. They will ease them in and then see how they perform. And if they perform well, they'll get more opportunities. And so it's really, in my opinion, a credit to Edrin Cooper and how well he's played these last few weeks. Because, like I said, if he was struggling, the snap count wouldn't be tilting in his favor like it is. He's going out there, he's making the splash plays. You can see his athleticism, the playmaking ability that he brings, why the Packers wanted to take him in the second round, fully on display. And from a pure coverage standpoint, he's going to be an upgrade over Isaiah McDuffie in that regard. The big thing is, again, just he's a young player getting adjusted to the NFL speed, the NFL game, Jeff Hafley's playbook, and then how does he handle himself and run defense? Because as you mentioned, that's the part of McDuffie's game where he stood out. Now, he was never going to be a strong coverage defender at the linebacker position, but he's someone that you could count on in the run game for the most part. So it's a good sign overall for the Packers, because the fact that McDuffie's snaps are going down means that they're seeing progress from Cooper. And again, from a potential upside playmaking ability, his ceiling is going to be much higher.
It's interesting, Paul Breidel, because we talk about, you know, those two guys that are struggling, and then you look at a couple of other players that are starting to make some plays little by little, one of those being Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah, Lucas Van Ness is really coming on strong. And I think this last game in particular, just where the Packers could pin their ears back a little bit, it just absolutely fit what he is, what he's built to do. And I think part of the reason that he maybe had a little quieter start to the season was, one, their pass rush style, more on the containing the quarterback, keeping him in the pocket, the controlled approach. But Lucas Van Ness, you give him the opportunity to just pin his ears back and go, and he's someone who's absolutely going to find success in that regard. This is a defense that very much fits what what his skill set, what he showed he could do at Iowa, and putting his hand in the dirt. And I think something important to keep in mind, he's in his second NFL season. Obviously, this is an important year for any player in their second year. That's when we often see the biggest developmental jump. However, relatively speaking, he's still an inexperienced player. He played fewer than 1,000 snaps during his college career at Iowa. So as he gets more reps, gets more comfortable in this scheme, I think he's someone who could really, who we could really see take off, because there is just so much potential and there is relatively little amount of playing time in his career, especially as a defensive end, because of those 800-900 snaps he had at Iowa, most of them actually came lined up as a defensive tackle. So making the jump to the NFL, relatively inexperienced player, learning a new position, once things start to click for him, which it looks like they're starting to. Obviously, we know that he has the athletic ability, the talent. He's someone who could really take off.
Tom Paul Brettel, ESPN Lacrosse Packers beat writer here on 1250 AM The Fan, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. I want to talk about Xavier McKinney. We could talk about 3 interceptions in 3 games, and that's fine, and that's great. But to me, the one thing I noticed watching this game was there seemed to be a lot of Quay Walker turning around, looking at Xavier McKinney, trying to figure out what they were doing when they were out there on defense pre-snap. And that one time where they blitzed everybody from the right side, where Cooper got home right away, he was definitely looking at McKinney and then made late motions to everybody in the front seven of what they wanted to do at that point. So who's got the green dot? Who doesn't have the green dot? I thought Walker had the green dot, but is McKinney taking over after the original call?
Yeah, that's a great question. They certainly trust McKinney to the fullest extent. And I remember this conversation with Anthony Campanile, who's the Packers linebacker coach. It was early on in training camp before they had fully committed, or at least had said that they were committed to having Quay Walker wear the green dot. And he said that when he was in Miami, Campanile, that they had one of their safeties wear the green dot for some games down there. So the fact that McKinney does look like he's having a lot of the quarterbacking the defense on the back end. Again, it's something that has been done before. Linebackers coach Campanile has been in an environment where it's been like that. But I think more than anything, it speaks to just the absolute trust that they have in Xavier McKinney to make those decisions. I remember during training camp that pre-snap, Evan Williams said that McKinney was determining whether it's him who goes down to the box or whether he sends Williams or Bullard or however they were going to configure. And that's not normal. Most teams do not give their safeties that type of autonomy to make that split second decision of who's going down, who's going where, who has what responsibility. And again, that's just another of what have been many examples throughout the summer. You hear the coaching staff talk about him. You hear the safety room, the entire defense talk about him. That's the trust that they have in his ability as a leader, as a decision maker, to make those play callers. He is a force multiplier. We all know, as you mentioned, we can see the interceptions, but he is someone whose gravity makes everyone around him better. It's because of that leadership. It's because of the decision-making, the instincts that he has, and we're seeing all that on display in the early going here.
The other thing I don't think is being talked about nearly enough is you don't have Carrington Valentine, and nobody knew the difference because people that stepped up for Carrington Valentine did their job.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw last week that Valentine took on a much larger role in week 2 versus week 1. And, you know, sometimes you look at it as a negative and you think, well, what did Eric Stokes do wrong? But really, I think it's more of a credit to Valentine and just how well he's playing, because Eric Stokes is playing some good football as well all throughout the summer. This coaching staff was really complimentary about Stokes. And it wasn't just the, you know, typical coach speak of, yeah, he's having a nice camp. Like, they would go on and on about the plays he's making in coverage as a run defender, what he's bringing off the field, in the meeting rooms, all that. You can, as you're having these conversations with the coaches, you can tell a lot of times when it's coach speak and when they're really expounding on the player's play and the level that they're playing at. And with Stokes, that's been the case since OTAs. You go back to March, April, it's been nothing but positive things for him. So the fact that Carrington Valentine is seeing more snaps up until his injury here, I think speaks to really the play of Valentine and what he's shown, and that he's going out earning those opportunities. And last week, Matt LaFleur made no bones about it. He said that is a competition. That sounds like that rotation is going to continue to go on in the coming weeks. And as we saw last year along the offensive line with this Packers team, they felt that that rotation on the offensive line really elevated the play of the, not just the position that's rotating, but the entire position group. So it looks like when you have that kind of talent on the back end, they're trying to replicate that at the cornerback position this season.
Tom, Paul Brettel, ESPN Lacrosse Packers beat writer here on 1250 AM The Fan, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Let's flip. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. I said on the Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express yesterday after the noon that, yes, Rashid Walker's got penalty flags being thrown on him seemingly every other play. But having said that, he doesn't have to be a great run blocker to stay at left tackle, I don't think, on this Packers offensive line going forward. An occasional hold here or there is not going to have him lose his job at any point because, again, the main thing with this Packers offensive line is pass protection. As long as he does that well, I think Matt LaFleur and others will just overlook the other issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's the name of the game. Keep the quarterback upright, keep him clean. And to your point, they don't necessarily have the luxury either like they did last year to rotate him out. Yeah, you have Jordan Morgan, but they've invested a lot of time this summer in getting him prepared to play right guard. And, you know, outside of the injury that he had during training camp, my thought was that it was their plan from the get-go to have him be the starter. My interpretation of it all felt like Sean Ryan was meant to be the backup at that position. So they don't necessarily have that secondary option to where if Walker's struggling, you know, you don't have a Yosh Nyman to just step in and come off the bench in that regard. It's Kadeem Telford, it's Travis Glover, and it's Andre Dillard. Those are your options. So I think the ups and downs that they're seeing with Rashid Walker right now, they're going to have to ride those out. And again, in the grand scheme of it all, he's still a relatively inexperienced player, but that left tackle position, we all know how important it is. But like you said, if he continues to handle himself well overall from a pass protection standpoint, the collective unit of the offensive line is still going to be in good shape. I think that's the important part to remember about offensive line play. It's the sum of the parts is far greater than any individual. You can have a great, great, great left tackle, but if the right side of the line's weak, overall, your offensive line play is going to be weak. So I think the way Walker's playing right now, again, penalties got to get cleaned up. You want to see some improvements here and there in the run game. But overall, I don't think he's doing anything that's extremely detrimental by any means to the play of the offensive line and therefore the play of the offense.
Paul, what's been the most impressive thing from Malik Willis through the two starts that he's had? For me, it's just been not making bad decisions.
Yeah, I think that's number one on the list is his ability to take care of the football, whether it's an errant throw, a poor decision. You know, to some degree, you would expect the ball to be in harm's way, but I don't even think there's been a turnover-worthy pass that he's made in these two games. One thing I will say, just football aside, it takes a really special person to do what Malik Willis has done over these two games, just being thrown into the fire, new team, new playbook, and a playbook that Matt LaFleur, by his own admission, has said it's really, really difficult to learn. You only have to spend 30 seconds with Malik Willis to be like, this guy gets it. Like, he just gets it. And him and Jordan Love could have a competition to see who's the most even-keeled person. Like, there are no high highs with Malik Willis. There are no low lows. And that mentality, that mindset has served him so well throughout this because, obviously, being thrown into the fire of being on a new team, going back to the team that just traded you a few weeks ago, playing in their stadium, like there's a lot of pressure there. It could be easy to get flustered, but he is so focused on what is taking place in the moment. There was a question he was asked last Wednesday about, you know, being back in Tennessee on Sunday and at Nissan Stadium. And he looked at you like you're a little crazy thinking, well, that's 5 days from now. Why am I concerned about what's happening 5 days from now? I still got to get through practice and meetings on Wednesday. Like, he is in the moment. He's not worried about what happened in the past. He's not worried about what might happen in the future. He is focused on the next play. He is very process driven. And those that natural ability to have that processing style, I think has helped guide him through, again, this crazy time for him and being thrown into the fire in that regard. So I just have to say I've been really, really impressed with, again, just how he's handled this off the field. And I think that's obviously been a big, big factor into us seeing how well he's played on the field.
I have one last one for you. Matt LaFleur going to talk here in a little bit, and we'll play that back for everybody at 4 o'clock. But if Jordan Love comes back this week, which I think has been the expectation, even though he's been practicing for, 2 weeks, that he was going to eventually come back for this Vikings game, how much do you think this offense changes? Because that's been an ongoing conversation as far as, you know, do they abandon what they've been doing with Jaden Reed as much? Do they abandon the running game and how many times they're running the football, you know, from game to game? That last game here, they had, what, 26 rush attempts from the two running backs. You know, do you consistently see that with Jordan Love, or we go back to slinging it?
I think it's going to be a bit of a mixture. I think overall you're still going to see Jordan Love sling the ball. I mean, we've seen from Matt LaFleur, Matt LaFleur wants to throw the football. And obviously that's the advantage that Jordan Love gives you as a quarterback, so you don't necessarily want to, you know, take that away by any means. So I definitely think the passing game is going to be a big part of it. But I also do think these last two games were a terrific learning opportunity for LaFleur, for the coaching staff, for the players, and just how to adapt, how to adjust on the fly, and truly how many different ways this offense can hurt you. I think going through these last two games is going to prove immensely beneficial for this team down the road because of just how they've had to adapt, the different things that they've thrown at opposing defenses. Like even running the ball heavily against the Colts, they threw a ton at them from outside zone to gap scheme, from the receivers being used in the run game, motion. So many different elements have been thrown at these opposing defenses, and the players, the coaches have shown that they can handle it, that they can execute it, that you're not going to just want to completely throw that to the side either. So I think it's going to be a bit of a mixture of what we've seen so far. But if I had to guess, I would think it's still going to tend to lean towards, you know, a more pass-heavy offense. Again, that's the advantage that Love gives you. It's a quarterbacking league, and we know Matt LaFleur wants to throw the ball around.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. Paul Bridle, ESPN Lacrosse, Packers beat writer. He's a great follow. There's a lot of great writing for those guys over there at ESPN Lacrosse as well, and they're a great group of guys over at ESPN Lacrosse, former affiliate of the Wendy's Big Show. Follow Paul on Twitter at Paul_Bridle. Paul, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Sparky.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Paul Bridle, ESPN Lacrosse.